Good evening. It's always good to sit in this pulpit and be able to bring another portion of God's word to you guys. Appreciate everybody being here tonight. I titled this sermon, Sequoia Tree or Dandelion. I had a few questions on what are you doing. Basically, we're going to talk about standing steadfast. But I want to talk about that sequoia tree first. It stands tall. It stands strong. It'll withstand just about anything out there. It's almost non-destructive. It starts off small. And as it grows, it becomes taller and taller and taller. And the roots go down further and further and further. Whereas with a dandelion, it just kind of pops up. After a while, it withers and dies. Or some of us that have yards come along and just pluck it out of the ground with no problem. So the question I've got, how deep are your roots? Are they like a sequoia tree? Or are they like a dandelion? I'm going to take a look at this word steadfast. I've been looking at this for the last month or so, and I thought, you know, we look at it and we talk about standing steadfast, but what does that really mean? Well, it means, you know, I go to worship services every Sunday morning and I do what I'm supposed to do and that's about it. But there's a lot more to this word as I got to studying it as to what it all involves. I don't know if we'll get through this whole thing tonight. If we don't, we'll shut it down and finish it up next month. There's 9 different sections that I want to look at as far as standing steadfast. Some of them are relatively short. Some of them are not lengthy, but a little bit longer than that. So I'm going to start here. Our first scripture is going to be in 1 Corinthians 15. But as we look at, and I want to start with steadfastness in faith. Because if we don't have steadfastness in faith, the rest of it isn't going to matter. All right, so I looked at steadfastness and faith, and I looked at it, you know, as we journey through life, we encounter various trials that really test that faith. And it's in those moments that our steadfastness can really shine through. Are we really stable? Are we really able to go through that kind of a trial? I'm going to look at 3 or 4 Bible verses here, and they'll remind us that being rooted in our faith gives us strength. And not only gives us strength, but it helps us to be able to endure. And we need to remember that steadfastness in faith, that's what provides the solid foundation that we have. It allows us to stand firm against any kind of adversity that we might have. And by holding on to our beliefs, we can find hope, we can find peace, and with that should inspire others to do the same. Some of us may not think that we're looked up to, may not even want to be looked up to, but I'll guarantee you someone's looking at you. Someone that is following you and saying, that's the kind of life I want to live. And if we can find that hope and we can find that peace and we're leading our lives that way, then that should inspire others to do the same thing. Embracing steadfastness in faith will unite us with Christ. And it assures us that he's with us through every trial and tribulation that we might run into. And like I said, if we don't have steadfastness of faith, the rest of what I'm going to talk about makes no difference. It's kind of like, have you accepted the Lord? Have you been baptized? Because if you haven't, the rest that goes on makes no difference. That's the beginning. So I'm going to go start in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, therefore, one of his favorite words, my beloved brethren, he tells them what to do here. First, he says, be steadfast. Be immovable. Always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He says, be steadfast. And again, we're going to look at this word by the end By the time I get done, you'll figure out what it really means. But he also says, in behind steadfast, to be immovable and to always abound in the Lord's work. That's not just sometimes. If we are being steadfast, if we are immovable, then we will abound in God's work. Hebrews 23. Most of us are pretty familiar with that particular verse. Put my fingers on it. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. How? Without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Our hope, that's the hope we have of having a place in heaven. Things we have to do in order to have that hope. One, as I mentioned, is to be baptized. After that, we need to live a righteous life. We need to obey God's commands. Here, Paul says, hold fast on that confession of your hope. Hold fast to that without wavering. For he who promised that is faithful. So, we've looked at being steadfast. We've looked at being immovable. We talk about the hope that we have. Paul says, or the writer in Hebrews says, hold fast to that confession. Don't ever let go of it. 2 Peter 3:17. Peter writes, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Peter says, beware. Beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness. Back to the question I started with, are you the dandelion or are you the sequoia tree? If your roots are like the dandelion roots, you're going to be easily led away. You're going to be easily swayed. And we know throughout New Testament, in all of Paul's letters, we have a thread through there. Beware, 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 beware of false teaching. Beware of what goes on in other lives. Beware of other people that might have influence over you. Peter says here, beware of all that, lest you fall from your own steadfastness. James 1:12. James writes, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. What's the key phrase in here? Endure temptation. Take it in and then let it go. And back up to what I started with, having steadfastness in faith. If we have that steadfastness in faith, we'll be able to endure those trials and tribulations. We'll be able to endure temptation. We can say, not today, Satan. Then Romans 12:12. Romans 12:12, Paul writes, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Rejoice in our hope. I don't think we can say that too much. We need to be happy that we have that hope. And be patient in tribulation. That's pretty tough, you know. Things are not going well. It's sometimes really hard to be patient. But if we've got this steadfastness in our faith that we're supposed to have, it's going to be easier to be patient in those tribulations. It's going to be easier to say, okay, God, I need your help. Let's just get through this. And then Paul says, continue being steadfast through prayer. And that's the next section that I want to talk about, is being steadfast in prayer. We look at prayer and we say, okay, I know what prayer is. I talk to God. But you should really stop and examine it. Prayer is a powerful practice. And if we don't get in the habit of it, we don't do it. Just out of circumstance or something, we might talk to God and say, you know, I'm having a little difficulty here, time here or there. Help me through this. But it's a powerful practice that we can get into. It can bring us closer to God as we cultivate that relationship that we need to have with Him. Steadfastness in prayer reminds us to remain dedicated and persistent in our communication with God, even when we face difficulty or feel that our prayers go unanswered. I'm pretty sure most of us have felt that. Well, God just doesn't answer my prayers. I'm done talking to Him. Sometimes we can cop that attitude. But you got to remember, God's time and our time are two different deals. You may not have a prayer answered for 30 years because God deemed it not necessary to answer until then. Or it may be instant because He knows that you need it right then. But it's all up to God. We don't have any control over that. We encourage one another to establish a routine of prayer. Bruce talks about that a lot in sermons. So do I. So does Tracy. Those that stand in this pulpit. Preston. We talk about having a consistency in prayer. We talk about establishing a routine. We talk about it to encourage one another. And then where we bring our hearts and concerns to God through prayer. And ultimately trusting in His plan. The verses I want to look at urge us to continue praying earnestly, to never lose faith in the power of our prayer. And where we're steadfast in prayer, what happens? We open our hearts. We receive God's guidance. We receive His wisdom. And that in turn helps us through our lives, helps us walk this path we're walking. With a lot more certainty, with a greater sense of urgency. But if we don't talk to God, if we don't have that communication, I can talk to Dana all I want to, but he's not going to help a lot. God will. But somewhere we have to have the steadfastness in our life to believe that. Colossians 4:2. Paul's pretty plain here in this verse. He says, continue earnestly in prayer. What's that mean? That means make it a habit. Be diligent in it. Continue earnestly in prayer. Be vigilant in it. Stay with it. Don't let it not become a part of your life. And then he adds on the end of that, with thanksgiving. I'm guilty of it. How many times do we talk to God and ask for things? We get them and then we forget to thank Him. How's that in our own lives? We give someone gifts or we do something good for someone and they don't thank us. How do we feel? You think God doesn't have the same kind of feeling? I don't know whether it does or not, but I've got an idea that He cares. So when we ask and we go to prayer and we get prayers answered, might not be even what we wanted, but it got answered. Why can't we say thank you? Luke 18:1. Luke 18, verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them, he being Jesus. That men always ought to pray and what? Not lose heart. That means don't get discouraged when that prayer isn't answered yesterday when you prayed it today. You know, it's like praying for patience. And God, I need patience and I want it yesterday. It doesn't work that way. But this says men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Don't give up. Don't give up on what you know to do. Don't give up on prayer. Romans 1:9. Romans 1:9. Paul writes to the church in Rome, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son." Paul gives his all. And he's letting them know that right there. And then he says, "That without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers." Here's an example of mentioning others in prayer. We had a young man come forward this morning needing prayers. He needs to be in our prayers. His wife needs to be in our prayers. We have others in this congregation that are having difficulties in their life. They need to be in our prayers. We have the example right here to do that. Mention others in your prayers. Philippians 4:6. Somehow Bruce and I always end up in Philippians. Philippians 4, verse 6. One of my favorite verses in the whole New Testament. Paul says to this church in Philippi and to us, he said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication," and again, he uses "with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." But it's hard not to be anxious, Paul. It's hard when we got things happening that we don't know quite how to deal with it. I'm going to come back and say, okay, where's your steadfastness in your faith? Where's your steadfastness in knowing God will help you and take care of you and get you through these situations? That's what Paul's talking about when he said, don't be anxious about it. In common terms, give it to God. Let him deal with it. And then be thankful. Back to that. And he also said, let your request be made known. How? Through prayer. By talking to God. That's how we do that. Steadfastness in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 17. Very simply put verse. Read 16:17. 16 says, rejoice always. And 17 says, pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you have to pray 24/7. What it means is, when you have opportunity to talk to God, do it. Make it a part of your daily schedule. Most of us have prayers in the morning and the evenings, somewhere during the day. But if you make it a habit, your steadfastness in prayer will be a lot easier in your life. Difficult times happen to most of us. What do you do in difficult times? Do you go to your neighbor and try to get help? As Christians, we should be going to God for the help. He's our plant base. He's our root system. Be anxious for nothing. Be thankful in your request. And 1 Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing. We're going to cover one more tonight, and then we'll put the rest off till next time. This last one I want to talk about is steadfastness in love. We talked about this in class this morning, those of you that were in my class, about how love binds everything together. Paul talks in Colossians and Ephesians both, I believe, where he talks about being knitted together. And I always thought about that, being knitted together is like a sweater. And you knit it all together and then you tie a little knot and tie it off and it doesn't come unraveled. Until someone come along and pull the string, unties the knot. Then it begins to unravel. And I've always looked at that little knot as a congregation, someone coming in to untie that little knot is the false teacher that gets in amongst us sometimes. And if you let that false teacher get that knot untied, that whole sweater will unravel. I've been in congregations that split right down the middle over some false teaching. Probably most of us have seen some kind of a split somewhere in our life in the church. And then we also talked about a piece of plywood being bound together. Plywood by itself, if you just take the layers, is not very strong. But when you take the layers of wood and you mold it together, even the little shavings that are laying on the floor you'll see in plywood are molded in there with it, and they're glued together. That's the way love needs to be. It needs to be put together. It needs to be knit together. It needs to be strong and unmovable. So we talk about steadfastness and love. You have to understand, we're living in a world that's filled with distractions and chaos. Everywhere you go, doesn't matter where you look. And yet, in the Bible, we're called to love steadfastly. How do we do that? The Bible teaches us that love should guide all of our actions. It's also the anchor that holds us steady in everything that life brings us. And we talk about love, and we don't need the Ten Commandments, because if you've got Christian love, you've got true love in your heart, you don't need the Ten Commandments, because none of that's going to happen. Steadfastness in love gets a little bit involved. It involves being patient. It involves being kind. It involves being forgiving. Not only toward our loved ones, but also toward those who may challenge us. It's essential for us to have unwavering love as it reflects Christ, who first loved us. The verses that I'm going to share tonight focus on having a spirit of steadfast love. They encourage us to care for one another and living out God's love to show others. I'm going to start here with this one in 1 Corinthians 13:7. Most of us are familiar with that chapter. First Corinthians 13 and verse 7 is the one I want to use here, because it gives a definition of what love does. It bears all things. True love will get us through a lot of stuff that we don't think we can do, especially when we're talking about a love of Jesus, a love of God, and a love of the Word. It believes all things. It hopes all things. And lastly, it endures all things. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. And it always endures. That's what love does. Romans 13:10. Romans 13:10. Paul writes to the church in Rome, love does no harm to a neighbor. Yeah, well, you're not going to be messing around with the neighbor's wife or husband. You're not going to be throwing rocks through his windows and all this stuff if you got love for your neighbor. What about our neighbors in the congregation? If we got love for one another, they're not going to be no harm. He says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, here comes Paul again with that word, therefore and but. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. That's what gets us to where we need to be. It's the fulfillment. 1 John 4:16. Can't talk about love without talking about John. 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. We better know it, and we better understand it. And he goes on to say, God is love, and he who abides in love does what? He abides in God, and God in him. It's a two-way street. So we've come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. And then we know God's love. And whoever abides in the love abides in God. And if that's happening, God abides in them. Kind of a three-step formula, four-step. John 15:12. John 15, 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. It doesn't stop there. As I have loved you. Can we do that? Jesus gave his life for us. That's how much he loved us. Do we turn our lives over to him, or do we still want to do it our own way? Do we still want to say, it's my life, I'll do what I want to do? Or have we truly turned that life over to Jesus? He turned his life over to us. He died for us. When we go into that baptism and come out new, we've died. The old self died. The new self is supposed to be walking with Jesus. I use the word supposed to be. Sometimes that doesn't happen. But the command is there. Love each other as I loved you. And then lastly, Ephesians 4:2. Ephesians 4, verse 2. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. That's a verse that's hard to do. Paul gives some instruction in some of the verses in his letters. They get really difficult when you know, we can say and do all the right things sitting in here, right? But walk out that door and see what happens. It gets tough. How do we meet and how do we deal with all of our circumstances and all these people with lowliness and gentleness? I've used the word humble. Be humble. Be gentle. In another word, it's difficult for a lot of us. Be patient. But we have to do all those things, and then we bear with one another in love. If we don't have the love. Three sections we've looked at, steadfastness in faith, steadfastness in prayer, and steadfastness in love. That's a good start. We'll continue on this next month when I fill this pulpit again. It's an interesting study. To me, it's interesting to take a look at what this word steadfast really means. What areas does it pertain to? It doesn't just pertain to going to worship every Sunday. It pertains to a lot more than that. So I ask once more before we leave tonight, how good's your root system? Out of what we've talked about so far, are those roots you've got like a sequoia tree, or are they like the dandelion? Think about that as we walk through this next week. The invitation is always open. If you need to put your Lord on in baptism, baptism's ready. We'd be more than happy to take care of that. If you need prayers of this congregation, if your roots are not as deep as they need to be and you need prayers for help, need prayers to get a little stronger in your life towards your Christianity, we're here for you. We saw what steadfastness of prayer does. If you need help, let us know as we stand and sing. Kurt leads us in the invitation.